Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time you're listening to this. I'm glad you came and joined us. I want to talk to you today about the power of our words. The other day, I listened to a guy on YouTube telling his listeners that a certain song that was sung in a worship service he attended was unbiblical, and how the words in the song ruined the whole worship service for him. Brothers and sisters, today I want to talk about a powerful force that you and I possess. This force can build up or tear down, heal or wound. That force is the words that come out of our mouths. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Think about that. Our words have the power to bring life, to encourage, uplift, and inspire others, or they have the power to bring death, to discourage, tear down, and destroy. James 3, 9 through 10 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. We all know what it's like to have someone speak words of life into us. Maybe it was a kind word from a teacher that made you feel seen and special. Maybe it was a word of encouragement from a friend when you were feeling down. Your spouse most likely used words of life that helped you fall in love with them. These life-giving words can stay with us for years, lifting us up and giving us strength. But we also know what it's like to have someone speak words of death over us. Maybe someone called you a name, told you that you're not good enough, or made you feel small and insignificant. Divorce is often the result of angry words, especially if there's no repentance for speaking them. These words can also stay with us, wounding us and making us feel like we're not enough. The good news is that we get to choose what kind of words we speak. We get to choose whether we're going to bring life or death with our tongues. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Jesus had a lot to say about the power of our words. In Matthew 12, 33 through 37, he says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree rotten and its fruit will be rotten. For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Good people bring good things out of their good treasury, and evil people bring evil things out of their evil treasury. But I tell you that every worthless word that people speak, they will give an account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Brothers and sisters, these are sobering verses. Jesus is telling us that our words matter. They are a reflection of what's in our hearts, and we will be accountable for them. Yep, we will. We will be held accountable for them. Yikes. Makes me want to repent right now for every word that I said that may have hurt someone in some way or another or discouraged them. In fact, let's do that right now. Let's take a minute and think about this past week. Have I spoken any words that hurt someone, tore them down, discouraged them? Father, forgive me for misusing my words this past week. I pray that you would wash them away with your blood destroy the fruit that they may bring forth. Lord, be merciful and forgive me of speaking things I should have not spoken. Wash them away. Destroy the fruit. And heal the hearers of any damage or harm I might have done by my words. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, that when we repent, you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. Wow. I pray that any words that now we repent of, it shouldn't be held against us on Judgment Day, because now they are under the blood, washed away, and forgotten by the Lord. Amen. As for the man who condemned the words in the song, let's examine the words that ruined the worship service for him. The words he took exception to were, "When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me." First, I want to say that I personally do not take exception to these words. I believe they are completely scriptural because we have power in our words. I believe that the problem is that he's having is he has a lack of understanding. So we absolutely do have authority in the name of Jesus. This is why we must study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must know what the Bible says and be able to connect the dots correctly. Here are a few verses that speak to the validity of these song lyrics. Matthew 10:1. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every sickness. And Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. To do what these verses tell us, Jesus gave them authority to do it. And they had to use their voices. They had to speak words. Amen? Matthew 16:16-18 says, "The one who has believed and has been baptized will be saved. The one who has not believed will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them." Now, when it says they will pick up serpents, I don't believe in snake handling like some denominations do. I believe in what Paul modeled when he was gathering wood on the island and a viper latched onto his hand, and then he took it and moved it, and it was a deadly snake, and the people were staring going, "Oh no, he must be judged by God because the snake is going to kill him and he's going to drop dead any second now." And they watched and they watched and they watched and they watched, and he never dropped dead. And then they're like, "Wow, this guy must be a god." Paul's like, no, I'm just a man. I just believe in God. And so he was able to heal the chief's son and lead that whole island to the Lord. That's what I mean by handling serpents or pickup serpents means, that kind of scenario. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. Now, I'm not saying we should go drink a glass of bleach or something just to prove our faith. We're not going to be stupid. There's a verse about that too, about we're not to test the Lord. But this is, by an example I've seen, is missionaries who went to preach the gospel and the people gave them a poisonous drink and to kill them. And the person, the missionary, did not even know it was poisonous. They were just trying to be kind of person, a good guest, and these people were hosting him, were giving him something to drink. So they drank it, and the people are watching and watching and watching, expecting them to drop dead from the deadly drink they just gave them, and they never do. So the people believe in Jesus because of the miracle of the deadly poison not killing them. This is the point of this scripture. Let's not get weird or crazy and start going picking up vipers or drinking poison, okay? We don't want to test the Lord. But we will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, it also says. And usually when we lay hands on someone, we command them to be healed, right? So we're using words. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." As I always teach, Jesus says in Mark 16:16, listen carefully, "The one who has believed and has been baptized will be saved." You get that? Yeah. This is also taught by Peter in Acts 2:38 and modeled throughout the book of Acts. These verses also clearly show that the authority to heal the sick, cast out devils, and perform miracles that bring glory to God are done by those who are saved. So get saved and do what Jesus gave you authority to do. Amen. John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." In Acts 5:12, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico." So these verses show us that we absolutely are to do exactly the same things that Jesus did while on earth, and that the apostles did exactly that as well. Yeshua taught his apostles to perform miracles. But we are to perform miracles. We are to be doing both the example of Jesus and the apostles, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, performing miracles. It's a miracle when someone's raised from the dead, amen? So let's recap. These are just a few verses that show Jesus and the apostles are our example. Jesus has given us authority. And we are to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and do everything that Jesus modeled for us. Now, how can one perform a miracle without speaking? In other words, it takes words. We must open our mouth before miracles can break out. Joshua 6:20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, but the wall fell flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. Here again, we see the people use their voices. The walls that come down in our lives are strongholds. The Israelites shouted, and the walls came down. We also use our voice to bring down the walls in our minds. These strongholds, which are built through lies and pain, expressed through words from others or through negative life-destroying self-talk, must also be torn down through words. We use the word of God, truth, and healing words. And when we do, those walls come crashing down. You see how words can bring life or death? So how can we make sure that we are speaking words of life? First, we need to be mindful of what we're saying. Before we speak, let's take a moment to think about whether our words are going to build others up or tear them down. Let's ask ourselves, is what I'm about to say going to be helpful and beneficial to those who hear it? Second, let's focus on speaking words of encouragement and blessing. Let's look for ways to build others up and make them feel seen and valued. Remember, I talk about the culture of honor and showing people that they are valued. is a big part of the culture of honor. Every person has inherent value because they're created by God. We want to speak words that show them that truth, that they are created by God with inherent value, that they are a gift. Let's use our words to praise and uplift those around us, not to give them the wrong kind of praise. All praise and honor and glory belongs to the Lord. But when people do a good job, it doesn't hurt to say, tell them, hey, that was a good job. I appreciate the good effort you put forth on that. You know, encouraging people to do a good job. If people feel like no one cares about effort they put forth, they may stop putting forth effort. Amen. And finally, let's remember the power of our words to shape our own reality. Proverbs 15:4 says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." The words we speak about ourselves and our circumstances have the power to bring us life and hope, or to crush our spirits. How many times are we complaining about the circumstances in our life? We were supposed to do all things without murmuring and complaining. Be thankful in all things. The Lord works all things out for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So even if something bad is happening in your life, or what we would consider bad, someone got sick, like recently I fractured my foot. I didn't complain about that. I mean, it hurt, and I didn't appreciate having to pay those extra medical bills. But you know what? It gave me the opportunity to sit and focus on my writing, and I had completed 2 books in the past few weeks. So God can turn all things out for good. And he does. No need to complain about our circumstances. Look for opportunities to apply faith to the situation. Let's choose to speak words of faith and life over our own lives and the circumstances we find ourselves in. God is in control. He knows what we need, and he knows when we need it. Sometimes we want things sooner than later, and maybe sooner is not as good as later. Amen? Sometimes God has to work some other details out in our life before he can let something else happen. And we want it now. We want it now. We complain. Oh, why not now? Why not now? But maybe now is not a good time. Maybe we're not ready for that blessing. Just trust the timing of the Lord. Let's say, Lord, we would like it as soon as possible. And whatever your timing is, we trust you in your timing, Lord. Let's show that we love and trust the Lord with our words. Amen. Let's speak words of faith and life over ourselves and our situations. Actually, Proverbs has many things to say about the use of words and what people say. I recommend a study on that topic. Study the Proverbs. Just do a word study on words. You can see you can get all kinds of verses from the Bible that talk about using words and when you speak and the tongue. You do word studies on these words, tongue and words and speak. A good topic to study, because the power of life and death is in the tongue. In other words, what we speak. And we want to make sure that we're speaking words of life. Amen. Corinthians 10:5 tells us we are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. because thoughts become words, which establish our beliefs, which drive our actions. There's a saying about this that goes like this. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become deeds. Watch your deeds, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And character is everything. Do you see how words are really important? It's down there in the basis of our character. And they start with thoughts, which create strongholds. So we want to tear those bad strongholds down, those negative strongholds down. And we do that with words. So if we're to watch our thoughts and tear down strongholds, lest they become life-destroying words and actions, how exactly do we do that? With words. When a life-destroying thought enters our mind, we say, no, I will not receive that. Then speak out the life-giving truth that is the opposite. Here's some examples. Life-destroying thought, I am ugly and stupid. Canceled by, I am fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. He has given me a wonderful destiny and gifts to accomplish it. Life-destroying thought, I am going to fail. Canceled by, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Life-destroying thought, nobody loves me. Canceled by, I give praise and thanks to him who loves me and released me from my sins by his blood. He made me part of his kingdom, a priest to Father God. Nothing will separate me from the love of Christ, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Whatever the lie or negative thought, find scriptures that speak the opposite. Make them personal. Use your words to speak life and truth to yourself as well as others. I know just doing those examples, my spirit was encouraged by canceling out those negative thoughts. How about you? Give it a try. But, you know, once you get a negative thought, grab hold of it. Find a truth in the Word of God. Speak that against that and tear it down and cast it out of your head. Don't take it in. Don't let it become another brick in the wall. Brothers and sisters, let's commit today to being people who speak words of life. Let's use the power of our tongues to build others up, to bring hope and healing, and to glorify God. Let's remember that our words have power, and let's choose to use that power to bless those around us, and also to build up, encourage, and speak life to yourself, because we are to love ourselves as we love others, and we can't love others if we don't love ourselves. Amen? Let's use our words steeped in faith as true believers to tear down strongholds that hold us back from fulfilling our destiny and advancing the kingdom. Strongholds that allow the curse to operate in our lives. Keep miracles from breaking out. Yes, we can absolutely see miracles when we command with our voices, eyes to open, limbs to grow, cancer to be healed, the dead to come back to life, and many more such things, following the example that Jesus gave us and in his authority. There's absolutely nothing wrong with these lyrics biblically. Now, there will also be lying signs and wonders in the last days. Yes, that's true. But this is a heart condition driven by pride and a desire to manipulate people and build one's own kingdom rather than bringing glory to Yeshua and advancing the kingdom of heaven in the earth. Just because some will perform lying signs and wonders doesn't mean we shouldn't use our voices to bring glory to God through true signs and wonders. But don't be afraid to lift your voice and shout. and see every wall come crashing down, or open up your mouth and see miracles start to break out. You do have the authority that Jesus gave to you. Amen. One last thing I want to address. This man took exception to these lyrics because he said that it took the focus off of God and put it onto man. It made man believe he was God. Well, first, we are commanded by God to perform miracles and tear down strongholds. I shared the scriptures with you. So obedience is always the right thing to do. The key here is the motive behind our actions. Make sure you're doing it as a true believer. Make sure that you're not trying to build your own kingdom. Amen? We don't want to manipulate others with lying signs and wonders. When I heard about that, where people who got caught by media, in the healing meetings, you know, ministers who somehow, I don't know why, lost their faith, I guess. I don't know. They started out strong and then maybe they had secret sin in their lives. I don't know. It's not for me to judge them. But they were creating false miracles, false healings by finding people and planting them in the audience to pretend to be sick and then get healed, quote unquote healed. So what was the purpose behind that? Lack of faith? Pride? Trying to build your own kingdom? No, we don't want to do that. But we want to heal people and see lives touched and changed and all the glory given to God. We want people to be healed, set free, so they can have their own personal relationship with the Lord. We want to advance the kingdom of heaven in the earth, not build our own. Amen? So obedience is always the right thing when we do it in the right motive. Second, listen to these verses. Psalm 82:6. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. John 10:31-36. The Jews picked up stones, began to stone him. Jesus replied to them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, we are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be nullified, are you saying of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? Very interesting passage, would you say? Jesus validates the verse that states you are gods. We are not the Most High God, and all glory, honor, and praise belongs to him, Yahweh. Amen. However, we are his children, made in his image, and commanded to do what Jesus did. He has given us the authority to destroy the works of the enemy in the earth. Let's do it. And remember, it takes us opening our mouth and sometimes using words and sometimes shouting. I want to say once again, it is a matter of the heart, motive, that shows whether performing miracles and bringing down walls is of God or not. Whether we are bringing glory to Yeshua or ourselves, building God's kingdom or our own. But the very fact that we can use words is absolutely biblical and even commanded as well as modeled by Jesus and the apostles. Jesus sent his word and healed the sick. We must use our words. So, conclusion, the lyrics are biblical. They wouldn't ruin my worship experience. Rather, they would encourage me to be obedient to the commands of God, knowing I have authority in Jesus. How about you? Now, what about the words that this man is using to discourage people from singing the song? I believe the words he is using is discouraging people from not only singing a song that he clearly does not understand, but to also discourage people from using their voice to tear down strongholds and perform miracles, things we are clearly commanded to do in Scripture. All because he believes that these words are causing people to put themselves above God. I don't think people are doing that at all. I know I'm not. I'm being encouraged by reminding myself through those words that I have authority in Jesus to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, tear down strongholds, take every thought captive under the obedience of Christ. And it takes my words, my voice. I have to speak, use my mouth, and let my words declare to myself, to others, and to the enemy what I actually believe and what I want to see happen in my life. It's called prophesying. We want to prophesy good things to ourselves and to others and lift up the name of Yeshua. Lift his name up and bring honor and glory to his name. It doesn't bring honor and glory to his name if we are sick and poor and complaining and tearing others down. If we're weak Christians, just waiting for the I'll fly away and the great by and by, what, you know, I'm sorry, but we're not here to wait for the blessed hope of his returning. While that is a blessed hope, it's to encourage ourselves when those of our loved ones pass on and they are dying in Jesus, that we're going to see them again someday. So we have the blessed hope. But right now, we're not supposed to be standing, staring, looking at the sky. We're supposed to be about the Father's business. The Father's business of seeing miracles break out, tearing down strongholds, destroying the works of the enemy, which takes words. Amen. I hope this man realizes his error and learns the true meaning of this song so that singing it will not ruin a worship service for him again. But he will also be encouraged to walk in his destiny and authority in Jesus. I also hope that he takes down this YouTube video discouraging people from walking in their God-given authority. Because we gotta remember, we gotta think about the words we're using. We gotta speak life, not death. We need to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we especially want to be careful about what we post on social media. Whether it's Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatever else ones they have out there, we want to be careful about what we post on the social media platforms. Because we'll all give account for the words we release into the atmosphere. And once we put it on social media, it's never going to go away. We may want it to go away. We may even delete some of the videos and stuff. But from what I understand about how they work, we can always be recovered in some way. It's out there. People have gotten it into their spirits. So be very careful about what you post on social media platforms. And always, this is the beginning of this study. I might just touch on things to get you to think. I hope it encourages you to dig deeper and get more revelation on how to use your words to build the kingdom of heaven on the earth, how to destroy the works of the enemy and help build the church, which is people. I could say so much more, but I think that that's where I'll end today. That'll be it for today. So let's pray. Yeshua, help us to be mindful of the words we speak. Give us wisdom to know what to say and how to say it. Help us to use our words to build others up, including ourselves, and how to bring glory to your precious name, how to advance your kingdom in our sphere of influence and destroy the works of the enemy. You have given us the authority and the command. May we all be obedient to follow your example and see the greater works you said we would. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged. Please remember to email me at lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com if you have any questions or comments. And follow us on Facebook and YouTube. Have a blessed week, and may you have shalom in your home.